Okay, today we're learning Bechorot Daf Mem Bet. Our shir today will be Le'iloi Nishmat Kadima Bat Harav Avram Tzvi Ben Sion B'chaya. We're going to start at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Bet. Chachamim Omrim Eino Bechor. Okay, so let's go back what this is referring to. I put it on your sheet today. Okay, the sheet will help organize. We saw a three-way machloket in the Mishnah about a tumtum and androgynous, or I shouldn't exactly say the machloket is about a tumtum and androgynous because we're going to see, but I'll start with this. Tanakama says, tumtum and androgynous, lo b'migdash ve lo b'medina. If you have a tumtum, which again has, we're not sure, all the genitals are covered, we don't know if it's male or female, or an androgynous which has both simanim of female and male. So if you have an animal of that type, according to Tanakama, you can't sacrifice it, but you also, it doesn't matir it to be shechted outside. Again, we're talking about a bechor that has either one of those options. So you can't do anything with it. Rabbi Yishmael says, Ein l'chag mum gadol mizeh. What mum would be bigger than this? Meaning, we're going to treat it as a zachar, but it has a mum, and therefore, now, the assumption is, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, Rav Chista is going to say, if you notice, tumtum and androgynous appeared in the first in Tanakama. But it's not clear what Rabbi Yishmael and Chachamim are referring to. Are they referring to both tumtum and androgynous, or is it just androgynous, which is it has a mum because it's a zachar, because it has zachar, it has an evar of a zachar, but it also has female genitalia, which means basically that's going to be a mum. So therefore, it's a balmum, meaning you can't sacrifice it, but you can slaughter it. Chachamim say, Eino b'chor ela nigzaz v'ne'evad. This isn't b'chor at all. This is what we call, it's a bria, right? It's its own unique entity, which means that it's not male, meaning it's not chayav and b'chor. B'chor is only zachar. So if it's not male, it's not only can you slaughter it, but you don't even have to worry about gizav avoda.
What's the animal next? But the animal's next offspring wouldn't be a bechor either.
No, because then we discussed it's not petarechem, right? There was something else before. So comes Rav Chista and he says, I'm Rav Chista. Machloket, okay, the machloket between Rabbi Yishmael and Chachamim, the latter two opinions, about whether we say it is chayav and bechor, but it's a baal mum, or it's not a bechor at all because it's its own entity. Androgynous, the machloket is only in an androgynous case. Aval betumtum, but if it were a tumtum, now, what would motivate him to say this? Because a tumtum, we don't know, is it male or female? So he says, we don't look at a tumtum as its own unique entity, like an androgynous that has both. This has one, we just don't know which one, and therefore it's a suffix. And therefore he claims the machlok of Rabbi Yishmael and Chachamim is not about a tumtum. Tumtum is always suffix, and always sanctified misveka. So comes Rava, and he's going to bring a slew of questions. Okay, you can see from the chart, there's basically seven questions on him. And even the latter one, the one that's charted at the bottom, is going to be a bit of a question. But let's say right now, seven questions. So here comes Rava with his questions. And he's basically going to bring all sorts of sources which bring tumtum together with androgynous. And it seems like tumtum is not a safek. And each time, except for the last time, or basically the truth is really all the times, all the answers are going to be erase tumtum from that source, okay? Meaning, why would tumtum have accidentally ended up there? Well, you can assume tumtum and androgynous are categories that often go together, and what Rav Chista says is they're not really the same. And therefore, all these sources that kind of lump them together, he's going to say shouldn't have, okay? So here we go. Elamayata, be'erchin. We're going to have all different kinds of situations where tumtum and androgynous come together here. Be'erchin. What's erchin? When you give the value of a person to the mikdash, so if it's zachar, you have to give it, right? You say, I'm giving the value of this person to the Bein HaMikdash. We're soon going to get to Masechet Erchin. We'll learn a lot more about this. You give, if it's a male, you give a certain value. If it's a female, you give another value. Alama be'erchin ya'arech. So if you're going to say that it's misafek, then if someone says, I'm giving the value of a tumtum, what would you say? Well, since it's safek, male or female, misafek, it should at least be valued, right? We should have to give something. If I say, giving the value of this tumtum, you should have to bring. And alamatanya, why does it say, right? Again, this is based on Rav Chista that we view a tumtum as safek. We don't know if it's male or female. Interestingly, you would think, what would you, right? Either Be'erech Ish or Be'erech Isha. We'd say maybe Be'erech Ish, we should be machmir. On the other hand, maybe Be'erech Isha, Isha is always worth less in the Torah. Her value is less because, again, in that society, the women were viewed as not as equal. And a man could work and do all sorts of things, was more fit. That's why he has more value. But lefachot, you should at least have to make him do the value of the female. So, alama tanya, what does it say in the Braita? Hazachar. Okay, this is the pasuk about erchin. Vayat erkecha hazachar. Why does it say with ha'yidya the zachar? To exclude the lo tumtum androgynous. They're not nerachim at all. Okay, if you say I'm giving the value of tumtum and androgynous, you don't have to give anything to the mikdash. So, as I said, they're going to say, smei mikan tumtum, erase tumtum from this braita. Really, if you do a tumtum, according to Rav Chisda, it would be out of sefek, you'd have to give lefachot the value of a female. Tashma, next source. Yachol lo yehe, these are all Tanaitic sources. Yachol lo yehe be'erech ish, aval yehe be'erech isha. You might have assumed that what, it won't be, so you won't have to give the higher value, because it's sefek. Aval yehe be'erech isha. There's a good question here, which is, why wouldn't you assume that if it's sefek d'oraita, we go l'chumra and we make you give the value of a male? Okay, I'm just going to raise that as a question. But they're at least saying, minimally, you would have to give the value of a woman. Talmud Lamar, hazachar. Again, they learn it from hazachar, and now they're going to learn im nikeva, below tumtum v'androgynous. It says, I'll read the pasuk, right? Bayar kacha hazachar. And then it says, and be'im nekeva, and if it's a nekeva, this is what you give. So now, what are they darshan here? The hea yidiyav zachar, and the ve'im of nekeva, and that's the hea of zachar means you don't treat it like a zachar. But maybe you would think you could treat it like a female and pay less. No, it says im, which means, right, the, it could have just said hanekeva, but it says, or it just could have said nekeva, but it says ve'im, to exclude tumtum v'androgynous. So again, you see here, tumtum is not involved, even though it's safek. Again, smei mikan tumtum, erase that, and it really just meant for lo androgynous. Tashma. Now, why is androgynous excluded from all this? Because androgynous is considered, it's as if there's three types. There's male, there's female, and there's androgynous. So it's not male, and it's not female. Something else. Tumtum, right, replaced is logical. It's one of them, we just don't know which one. Right? It's a classic Torah situation of, you know, suffix. We don't know. So, which is exactly what Rav Chisda is saying. Classic suffix, therefore, we judge it l'chumra. Next source. Im zachar im nekeva. Okay, now we're on to, I'm just blanking on, right, this is for korbanot. Im zevach shlamim korbano, v'yikra perek gemol. Im menavakar makriv. Im zachar im nekeva tamim yakrivenu lifnei Hashem. So, zachar vadai, nekeva vadait. It has to be to bring us a sacrifice. It has to be for sure male or for sure female. Filo tumtum v'androgynous. And not something that's tumtum v'androgynous. So again, what do you see? You might have thought, misafek, we'd be allowed to bring it. Now, why would you think in this case? Either it's male or it's female, and both male and female are allowed to go on the mizbech. So therefore, it would be obvious that, right? That,
but it has a mum. You can't bring it onto the mizbech.
It doesn't have a mum. Being a tumtum isn't a mum. We only said the androgynous had mum o imo because it had a cut there, or because it's, you know, it's kind of a male with female. That's a problem. But here, it's just hidden. We don't know what it is.
It's
so
not a mum.
No, it's not a mum. It's kind of like the, it's sealed down there. Mm-hmm. So there's actually, Rashi gives two reasons here, okay? One is, mishum sefek lo mimaikra. We learned this before, and this is the truth that you could say for all these. I didn't mention this before, but Rashi says this in all the cases, which is the Torah wouldn't be excluding a case of sefek, right? Because ein sefek klap hishmai, we learned that yesterday. And therefore, we can assume that that it's not being mimaik a sefek case. And additionally, in this case, it would either fall into the category of zachar or nekeva, and therefore it shouldn't be excluded. So, again, we're going to say, smei mikan tumtum. Next source. Hazachar velo nekeva. This is, we saw this yesterday, it's exact rasha. It says in Vayikra Perak Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, when it's talking about the korban olah, it has to be a zachar, hazachar tamim ekrivenu. And then, seven pasukim later, in Pasuk Yud, it also says, zachar tamim ekrivenu. So they darshan like this. Hazachar is coming to exclude below nekeva. You can't bring in a nekeva as a burnt offering. Kishahu amar lamata zachar, but when it says a few psukim later zachar again, shein tamud lamar. There's no reason for it to be there. Therefore, matamud lamar, what must it be coming lechadesh? Lo tzi tum tuman druginus, which again shows that, again, this goes back to what we saw yesterday, ein safek klafek shmaya. A pasuk wouldn't be coming to exclude a suffix situation, right? A suffix situation is the Torah knows what it is, it's just we don't know what it falls into. But the Torah doesn't exclude ein safek klafek shmaya, and therefore can't be tumtum. So if we say tumtum is safek, so smei mikan tumtum. Again, get rid of the word tumtum. Next source, tashma. Hanevad, vahamukta, vahetnam, vahmechir, vahtumtum, vahandroginus, kulam mitam'im b'gadim abe tablia. Okay, this you have to get some background. First, let's go through the categories. Nevad, it was an animal worshipped for Avodah Zarah. Muktzah, it was designated for Avodah Zarah. Etnan, it was sold for the value of a kelev, right? We say you can't bring mechir kelev in Etnan Zona to the Mikdash. I'm sorry, that's mechir kelev. Etnan is the gift that they give for the prostitute, right? If a prostitute got this, we're actually talking about birds, okay? I didn't say that, but I'll tell you, we're talking about birds. If the bird that you want to bring to the Mikdash was given as a gift to a prostitute for prostitution, and the mechir, if you sold a dog for this, you bartered with the dog, and tumtum and androgynous, all of these, if you did malika to the bird, okay, kulam mitam'im begadim abet habliya, okay, this is called what we call nevelat of tahor. What's a nevelat of tahor? It's when a bird dies without being shechted properly. It has a special kind of tumah, and only if it's a kosher bird, that while you're swallowing it, right, while it's in your mouth, anything you touch, right, it's metameh your begadim, and anything you touch. So, what makes something metameh beit habliya? It has to be a nevela. Now, generally, we do shchita when it comes to birds, right? So if you didn't do shchita, then it's a nevela. However, in the mikdash, what do we allow? Instead of shchita, you do malika on a bird, which is when the kohen takes his thumb and he pierces the neck of the bird. That's how we do shchita in the mikdash. If you did malika on the following things, which are not allowed to be brought in the Beit HaMikdash, these are all forbidden to bring in the Beit HaMikdash as sacrifices, and you did malika on them, that would be called a nevela. Because you can only, malika is only a kosher shchita if it's done on something that can be properly shechted and only in the Mikdash. So if you do these in the Mikdash, but to something that can't be, malika can't be done to it because they can't be sacrifices, they're metame bebeit habliya, they're called a nevela. Okay, so what's listed here? Tumtum v'androgynus. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, tumtum v'androgynus ein mitamim begadim bebeit habliya. They're not. Shaya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol makom shneamar zachar u'nekeva, ata motzi tumtum v'androgynus mibeinehem. All the places in sacrifices, or really anywhere where it says male or female, it excludes tumtum v'androgynus. V'of, but a bird, ho'il v'lo ne'emar bo zachar v'nekeva, since there's no mention of Zachar and Nekeva, therefore Tumtum and Androgynous can be included. But what do you see here? According to Tanakama, Tumtum and Androgynous are excluded here. So again, what do they say? Smei mikan Tumtum, right? Erase Tumtum from the list here. Tashma, next source. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hatrefa v'akilayim v'yotzei dofen Tumtum v'androgynous lo kedoshim v'lo makdishim. Okay, these are not sanctified, meaning you can't use them for sacrifices, right? If it's a trefa, it has some sort of a problem that it's going to die soon. Kilayim, a crossbreed of an animal. A yosei dofen, one that doesn't have a natural birth. Tumtum and androgynous. Okay, all these cannot be sprought. They're not kedoshim, right? They're not sanctified. And they're not makdishim. Right, we're going to say what this means. Va'amar Shmuel, lo kedoshim bitruma, v'lo makdishim la'asot tmura. Okay, they're not sanctified if you make them a tmura. Okay, meaning if you took an animal and then you wanted to switch it with another animal, and that animal that you took was a tumtum, that's not sanctified. And lo makdishim, if you took an animal as a tumtum for a korban or an androgynous, and then you said, I'm going to take something in its stead, well, the one in its stead is not going to be tmura because it wasn't even good in the first place. Okay? So what do you see here? Right? It's that if it's safek zachar, safek nekeva, then what will we say? Misafek, we should say it's sanctified. And here we see it's not sanctified. So again, we have the same problem. And now they're going to say, as usual, smei mikan tumtum. Just erase tumtum from the list. Next source, Tashma. Rabbi Elazar omer, chamisha, there's five things, lo kdoshim velo makdishim. Same thing, right? They can't make a tmura, and they can't be, right? They can't become a tmura, and they also can't make a tmura. Ve'eluhen, hatrefa, v'akalayim b'yotzeidofa v'tumtum v'adrogin. So it's the exact same thing we just saw a minute ago, but notice what the difference is. It says there's five. Now, what's the problem going to be? Well, if you want to get rid of tumtum from the list, you're going to end up with only four. And then if we have a random list without any numbers, so we can easily say, well, erase that. If you say there's five things and you want to get rid of one of the five, you're going to have a problem. So comes the Gemara and says exactly that. And if you want to say the same thing here, havalu arba'a, there'll only be four. So they still have a solution for that one. Apik tumtum va'al yatom. Get rid of tumtum from the list and put in a yatom. What is a yatom? It's an animal that its mother dies in childbirth. Why can't that be? Because if you remember, it says when the animal is born, it should be shmona yamim tacharim, shivat yamim tacharimo, ubayom hashmini yeretzel the korban. I'm kind of paraphrasing. I think it's something along those lines, but that, you know, maybe it's exact, but that's the idea. It has to be 7 days under its mother, and on the eighth day it can be brought, which means, what it really means is, you can't bring it until the eighth day. But what it says is, it has to be 7 days tacharimo. That means if its mother dies in childbirth, well, you can't bring it as a korban. So therefore, take out that one and take out tumtum, put in yatom, and there we still have five. Okay. Now they're going to suggest lema kitanai. This is a little bit different than the others, but still we're going to have the same thing about maybe we should get rid of tumtum. So lema kitanai basically means maybe Rav Chista's statement is actually a machloka between two tanaim about whether tumtum is always judged misafek or maybe not. Okay, maybe what would be the other option? It's considered its own unique entity, like an androgynous. Okay, why would we think it's a machloket tanaim? Well, let's see. Rabbi Eli Omer Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Rabbi Eli says in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, androgynous bechor hu mumo imo. Okay, an androgynous is a bechor with its own mum. That matches. Okay, this is why I charted it. You can look. This is Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, and that actually matches Rabbi Yishmael in our Mishnah that said ein lecha mum gadol mizeh. Right, so an androgynous. Now notice, he's only talking about androgynous here. There's no mention yet of tumtum. The chachamim amrim ein kedusha chala alav, and chachamim say no, it has no kedusha. Okay, which sounds like what? Sounds like chachamim in the Mishnah, which said it's not even a bechor at all. Right. Now, if you read the pshat, what would you think? He's talking about androgynous only because no one even mentioned tumtum yet. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Yehuda, says in the name of the Rabbi Shimon that we always quote, Harehu Omer Hazachar. It says Hazachar. V'cho makom shneamar Zachar, eino ela lahotzi tumtum v'androgynus. When it says Hazachar, what's it coming to exclude? And again, we're talking about a bechor. It says Hazachar. Anytime it says the word Zachar, that's lahotzi tumtum v'androgynus. Okay, now, if you want to say, so now, notice he kind of says the same thing as Chachamim, right? What's the only difference? Because he says, if it says Hazachar by Bechor, that's clearly not including Tumtum and Androgynous. What did Chachamim say? En Kedusha Chala Alav, which means it doesn't apply. But notice, we started off with Androgynous. Chachamim seems to continue with Androgynous. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says the name Rabbi Shimon, he seems to be including also the Tumtum. Okay, so now, Bechi Tema, if you want to say, now, again, what does he show? That tumtum and androgynous is excluded, presumably because why? Tumtum is a bria. It's its own unique entity, and therefore it's not a bechor at all. There's no sefik. So first of all, Rav Shimon clearly goes against what Rav Chista says, because he says a tumtum is its own unique entity. So again, how could we answer it? Bechi tema, if you want to say the easiest way to answer this against Rav Chista would be to say, hachinami smei mikan, look in the wrong place. Smei mikan tumtum, okay, five lines from the bottom. If you want to say, get rid of tumtum in Rabbi Shimon's opinion, well then, you're going to have a problem with this braita, because what's going to be? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, hayna rabbanan, then the last two opinions are going to be the exact same shita, which is en kedusha chala alav, and also en kedusha chala an, right? They're both talking only about androgynous. And therefore, it can't be that. El alav, so what must we say? Tumtum ika beinayu. The difference between Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon is tumtum. And how does it work here? De Tanakama. Tanakama here means Chachamim. Savar ein kedusha chala alav androgynous. Kedusha is not on an androgynous. That's its own unique entity. Aval tumtum sveika huva kadosh misveika. Right? He would think. And here we go. How do we start? Lema kitanai. Here's a machloka tanaim. This opinion holds like Rav Chisda. Right? I'm now in, if you look on the chart, the first hatzah, that there, the first option, the first way to understand this machloket, which is, you can already see there's going to be a different way to explain it, but they're going to suggest that maybe that's the whole machloket here. That the machloket is, do they hold like Rav Chisda or not? Now, obviously, Rav Chisda came after them, but it means, Rav Chisda said, maybe that was a machloket tana'im. So Chachamim, who say, androgynous, there's no kedusha b'chor, but he would say, tum tum misafek, that's Rav Chisda, who says everyone agrees that it's tum tum misafek. And Avata Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda lemeim, or Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and the name of Rabbi Shimon comes to say, Tum Tum Briyahi Velo Kadosh, which means that there is a Tanaitic opinion that disagrees with Rav Chisda. Okay, so we would say that these Tanaim, they're exactly arguing about, does everyone agree that Tum Tum is always viewed as Safek? Or maybe there's an opinion that it's not. And then, if you would put this back to our Mishnah, right, this would be an additional opinion that's brought in. Right, or, and as you'd have to say, the Chachamim's opinion of Eino Bechor Ela Nignaz V'Nevad, there's a machloket about how to understand Chachamim. Is it just androgynous, or is it both Tum Tum and androgynous? Do we view them both as a Briya B'fnei Atzma, which means neither has Kedushat Bechor? So the Gemara now rejects this and says, look, Dekule Alma Tum Tum B'Briya Lo Masapka. Nobody is Mesupak whether Tum Tum is a Briya B'fnei Atzma. That's not the Safek. The question is not, is a tumtum its own unique entity or not? The sefik is this. Zachar or nekeva hu de mesapka. The sefik is it zachar or is it nekeva? Okay? So now we're going to go and get into the, how do you explain this in a category? But how, well, I'll just say it simply. The question is going to be, we're going to take examples from what we see this animal doing, particularly urinating, and where does it urinate from? And that's going to maybe determine, okay? Matil mum bimkom zachrut. If, okay, the assumption is, we'll see this after, but that animals, I don't know, I'm not as familiar with the anatomy of animals, but if it's zachar, it urinates from a particular place, and it's in a keva, it urinates from a different area. It's not like in our bodies where it's right in the same area. With them, the zachar part is in a different area than the nekeva part would be. So now, if it's matil mayim bimkom zachrut, dekule amalo pligi de zachar. Okay, if when it urinates from where the male organ generally is in that area. Right? Remember, it's covered. But obviously, there's some way it urinates. And again, I don't understand the anatomy well enough. But nobody disagrees that that's a zachar. The machloka between them, again, we're talking about the machloka, Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. The machloka between them is, in a case, ki pligi, you can already guess, b'matil b'ayim b'mkom nikevut. If it urinates from the place where a female generally urinates from, then that would be a machloka. Mar savar, now why would you think you could even judge that as a male? Because mar savar, the one who says it's safek still, savar chayshinan shema nehebcha zichruto l'nikevuto. Maybe since it's all underneath, maybe the male organ was kind of moved aside, pushed to the side, and it's now sitting right where the nikevut usually is. And again, since you can't see anything, maybe it kind of got moved around underneath. Umar savar lo cheshinan. And the other opinion says, no, we're not concerned, and therefore we view it 100% as a nikeva. So Rabbi Shimon ben, who's who? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, we're not cheshinan. He says, it's clearly a nikeva. And the Chachamim, who say, Ein Kedusha Chala Alav is only an androgynous, but a Tum Tum would be Kadosh Misafek, is talking about again, and then we're saying it's only talking about a case where it's Matil Mayim Bimkom Yekevut. Okay? And that's the Machloket. Kiha, now we're going to see that there's an Emora who holds like this. Dehoret Rabbi Elazar, the Emora, he taught, Bebehema Matil Mayim Bimkom Yekevut, Chulin. He says, just like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, he says that a be'ema that urinates b'mkom nikevut is chulin, meaning if it was a b'chor, we're going to treat it as if it's not a b'chor at all, 100%. Okay? So that's how we explain the machloka between them, and we bring this proof from an Amora that he says the following statement, that in that case it's not, So we say, ah, that makes sense then to apply it over here. Okay? And then, where have we gotten to? Well, then we say, this is not a machloket. Rav Chisda is not a subject of debate among the Tanaim. Everyone agrees with Rav Chisda that a tumtum is safek. It's just that when Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, it's not a safek, it's vaday not a bechor, that's in a unique situation where it's matil mayim b'mkom nikevut. And the other machlokot, we're all, you know, and the other case where it's vaday, we're going to treat it as a safek and say it's kadosh misafek, is when it's matil mayim b'mkom sichrut.
Because he's sure it's a female, that's why.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, now we're going to have a question of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, he's going to question Rabbi Eli's shita. Okay? I forgot to say this. Ki hada hore Rabbi Elazar, it actually should be Rabbi Eli. There's two Rabbi Eli's. Okay? The Tana that we, the Braita that we brought, we weren't really dealing with this opinion, but the first opinion, the Braita was Rabbi Eli, Omer Mishum Rabbi Ishmael. And according to most of the Nuskaot here, this should be Rabbi Eli also, but it's Rabbi Eli and Amora. Don't confuse them. Okay? This is somebody else. So Rabbi Eli the Amora said this halacha about a beema matil mayim b'mkom nikevut is chulin. So now we're going to have a question on this. Tahei bar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan questioned him. Man de lo chash l'tanakama ul Rabbi Yishmael. If you say that a beema matil mayim b'mkom nikevut is chulin, okay, how can you not be concerned for Rabbi Eli Mishum Rabbi Ishmael's opinion that and the Chachamim's opinion, who basically say that that androgynous we're going to treat differently, but a tumtum is for sure, right? Remember what we had. We had our three opinions. Only the last opinion said a tumtum is vaday chulin. Everybody else, the other two opinions said what? A tumtum is safek. So therefore, he's going to say, how could you ignore the other two opinions and go with the third opinion? Okay, like kind of simply go with that third opinion and ignore, you know, you could also say they're the majority. Number one, it's Chachamim, and number two, there's two opinions versus one. You know, how can you just ignore that? Okay, now before we get to an answer, it's going to take us a little while until we get back to his answer to his question, we're going to question Rabbi Yochanan's question. So now they're going to say, V'lema Rabbi Yochanan, Nami, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say even more so? Man de lo chash le rabbanan batrai. Dam Rav Chisda, machloka bandroginus ava batumtum divrei hakol sveka. According to Rav Chisda, what did we say? That everybody agrees that tumtum is sveka. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say it's actually a machloket, even it's actually a problem, what Rabbi Eli says, even according to the last Tana. Okay, the Chachamim, one second, even the Rabbanan Batrai. Right, it's also Chachamim in our Mishnah said Eino Bechor, right? It's not a Bechor at all. So why didn't he add not only Rabbi Yishmael and Chachamim, but that's why. Tanakama Ula Rabbi Yishmael, sorry. Okay, I got confused between the Braita and the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan's question is going back to our original Mishnah. So let's repeat this. Rabbi Yochanan came to Rabbi Eli and said, it's very nice that you say this, and it actually matches Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon in the Braita, but if you look back at our Mishnah, it doesn't match. Look at our opinions in the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah said, first opinion, Tum Tum Van Draginus, Lo B'Mikdash, V'Lo B'Medina. Rabbi Shmuel said, Ein Lecha Mum Gadol Mizeh. Right? But again, Tum Tum, everyone agrees is Sefek. When Rabbi Shmuel said it, he was only talking about the Androginus. But everyone agrees, right? Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael agree that Tum Tum is Kadosh Misafek. So he says, how could you ignore Tanakama and Rabbi Yishmael? Comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? According to Rav Chisda, even Chachamim Batrai, meaning Chachamim, the last opinion in our Mishnah, which said, Eino Bechor Ela Nigzaz V'Nevad, what did he say? Only an androgynous is a Bria, but everyone agrees that Tum Tum is Misafek. So why didn't he ask about Rabbi Eli about all of the opinions in the Mishnah? Basically, when he says that we're going to treat this tumtum as its own unique entity, it's patur mi bechor, it doesn't match any opinions in the Mishnah. So that's the question. So now they're going to answer Right, and here, right, so let me just read it again. The lema Rabbi Yochanan Ami, why did Rabbi Yochanan also say, Manda lo chash lo Rabbanan batrai, meaning why wasn't he concerned for all three opinions in the Mishnah? Dama Rav Chista, because Rav Chista said, Machloka bandroginus haval tumtum divrea kol sveika. So what's the obvious answer? That's all only according to Rav Chista's reading. So it must be Rabbi Yochanan lo svira le Rav Chista. He must not have held like Rav Chista's reading and therefore understood that when Chachamim said Eino Bechor, Elan Igzaz v'Ne'evav, what was he referring to? Both a Tumtum and an androgynous, which would mean basically Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon say the same thing, which is there's no Kedusha, for, right? Even a Tumtum is a Bria. So then they say, really? E lo svira le, lema, if he doesn't hold like him, well then, what's the question on Rabbi Eli? Wouldn't he just simply say, Lema hu da'amar karabanan batrai? That's why, if, okay, it's a funny situation. We started off with saying, okay, let me just map it out. Rabbi Yochanan said, why don't you hold like the two opinions, right? Against the third, right? Then they said, well, it's, why didn't he ask, why don't you hold like the three opinions? Because really all three, according to Rav Chista, go against what Rabbi Eli said. So then the Gemara says, oh no, he doesn't hold like Rav Chista, which means there's really only two opinions that go against him. Well, if there's two opinions that go against him, but there's one opinion that holds like Rabbi Eli, why is it even a question? Can't you just assume that Rabbi Eli holds like the one opinion that says there's no Kedusha to a Tumtum at all? A Tumtum's never Bechor, it's its own Bria. So right, it's kind of silly. It's a little circle. He started off with saying, why don't you hold like the two opinions? But that would be obvious then. It's because he holds like the third. It's not, you don't need a rocket scientist to say that. So what's the answer? Hachinami kamar. That's really what he was saying. Man shavik treva avi kechad. If two out of the three opinions agree about the tumtum not being kadosh misafik, right? They disagree about the androgynous, but they agree about the tumtum. How could you go follow the third, which disagrees with the other two? And that's classic Dine Rove. We always follow the majority. Okay. So that's how we answer. That was all just to understand what was Rabbi Yochanan's question on Rabbi Eli. So now we have to answer the question about Rabbi Eli. Okay, again, here it says Rabbi Elazar, but most of them say change it to Rabbi Eli. Either which way, it's either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eli the Amora, which are obviously two different people. But anyway, what does he say then? Rabbi Elazar, Keman Savra, who does he, or Rabbi Eli, Keman Savra, who does he hold like? He holds Ki Hada Amarish Lakish. He holds by what Rish Lakish holds. And that's why he held this way, because what did Rish Lakish say? Lo amru tumtum safek ela be'adam. Ho'il v'zichuto ne'kevuto b'makom achad. And now we're going to get to what we said previously, which is in an adam, because where they urinate is in the same place, where both their genitals are in the same place on the body. Then we have a safek by a tumtum, because we have no way to determine whether it's male or female. Aval behema, we have a way to determine. Matil mayim bimkom zachrut, zachar. Matil mayim bimkom nikevut, nikeva. We go based on where it urinates from. So now, go back to Rabbi Eli, when he said that behema matil mayim bimkom nikevut is chulin, it's because he holds that by behema we have no safek. If it's matil mayim bimkom nikevut, then it's obvious it's a nikeva. And that's what he held. He held like Rish Lakish in terms of this issue. Now we're going to have another question. Matkefla Rav Hoshaya. Now we're going to have a question on Rish Lakish and therefore also Rabbi Eli, who holds like him. Belichush shemanef hazichuto l'nekevuto. Right? Shouldn't we be concerned that maybe, and here we're going to get into something really interesting, maybe, and that's not yet, but in a minute, maybe, like we said before, what's the chashash, right? Why did Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah? According to this interpretation, that the whole thing is in a case where Matil Mayim Bimkom Nikevut, the second Hatzah that we said. Because what did we say? He's concerned that maybe the male organ moved over to where the female organ is underneath. Okay? So, if that's the case, right, that's the question then on Rish Lakish. Why aren't we concerned for that? So now, again, this is the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan asked a question, and then we asked a question of Rabbi Yochanan before we even got to an answer. So now we're going to ask a question on Rav Hoshaya's question. Amar leh, kiman, ki Rabbi Meir, dechayesh lemiyuta. How often is it that nehevcha zichruto lenekevuto? Right? It's not a very common occurrence that this would happen, that the male genitals would kind of move over and be where the females are. So, Are you holding? Is your question premised on Rabbi Meir, who says we have to be concerned for the minority of events that would occur? If you remember, we've seen this in a number of situations. Rabbi Meir has this unique shita, even though we generally hold rov. He says you have to worry about some unique thing might have occurred here, and we have to be concerned for that. And if that's the case, then what do we have to do here? We have to be machmir, right? And say, so now they're saying to Rav Hoshaya, your whole question is it premised only on Rabbi Meir, Chayish Lemiuta? So, Kam Abai Bar Avin Rav Hananya Bar Avin, fourth generation Amoraim, De Amre Travayu, they said, Afilu Tema Rabbanan, even if you say Rabbanan, here's the really interesting line, Ho'il V'ishtane Ishtane. You can even say, according to Chachamim, aren't choshesh for a miut. They're not choshesh for rare occurrences. But this whole case of tumtum is a rare occurrence as it is. It's a fascinating statement. Since it's hishtane, it's already different. Therefore, we can assume it could be different in any way. And what does this basically mean? Even though generally we follow the majority, when there's something strange going on, okay?
It can only get stranger.
We basically eliminate DNA rove. It's a fascinating statement. That DNA rove only applies in standard cases.
To normal things.
And since this whole thing is not normal, we're going to have to say, well, then let's just treat it abnormally across the board. And therefore, even Chachamim, who generally just follow the rove, they're not concerned maybe some unique thing happened, would say that. And that's why his question, maybe you should be concerned, is all the more so a good question according to that. Because then it's a question according to everyone. Since this was strange, then it's strange. So they say, so now what's the answer? The answer is, it's a machloka tana'im. Okay, oh, sorry. We're not yet at the machloka tana'im. But they're saying, right, according to this, wait, I'm just trying to think of it. Answering it then, is that the answer to Rav Hoshaya? Right, so then Rabbi Eli and Rish Lakish, basically you're saying, we don't think, you would say it like this. According to Rish Lakish, who says, right, lo amrutin, I just have to get the sheetotes right now. Matil mayim bimkom nikevut is a nikeva. He says, right, you don't have to worry. Just because it was strange, it's a tumtum, doesn't mean that it's strange that the aver of the zachar ended up where the aver of the nikeva is. Whereas Rav Hoshaya thinks it does. Okay? So that's the debate between them. Now they're going to say maybe this debate is actually a machloka tana'im. Okay? Tanai. They're going to say this is a machloka tana'im. Ditanya, tumtum shekidesh, kidushav kidushin. Nit kadesh, kidushav kidushin. If a tumtum betrothed a woman, that would be a good kidushin. If he was betrothed by a man, okay, or she in this case, right? We view it as a she. The kiddushin works. Now, either direction it works. In other words, it's treated. This is very interesting in light of nowadays where people,
don't know what sex they
right,
are.
Exactly. And people call themselves, you know, it's just interesting. Becholeit vecholtzin leishto, umiyabmin leishto. Okay, according to this brayta, what do we say? He does, okay, so now, cholet vecholtzin leishto, meaning if, right, he can do chalitza as if he was one of the brothers, right? We treat him as a male for chalitza. And if he was married and the brother died without, if he was married and he died without children, then you would have to do chalitza for his wife. Umiyabmin liishto, and you can even do yibum for the wife. Betanya idach, eshe tumtum choletza felomit yabemet. A different braita says, no, the wife of a tumtum can only do chalitza, she can't do yibum. What's always the problem with yibum? Yibum allows, because there's a mitzvah of yibum, normally you're not allowed to marry a woman that your brother was married to, even if your brother's no longer alive. That's an Isur Arayot. But when there's a mitzvah of yibum, we override it. So whenever there's a safek case, we say, well, you do chalitza, but you can't do yibum. So what do they say here? Savruha. Okay, so now, just one second. So now we have to explain this machloket. Savruha de kule alma kirabi Akiva. They thought originally, okay, that the machloket between them that they both agree about Rabbi Akiva's opinion. There's a machloket. We're going to see between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer about this following topic. De'amar sris chama lo choletz velo miyaben. Okay, what's a sris chama? It's someone who's sterile from birth. Okay, what is it? Why chama? Chama is the sun. It means as soon as it saw the sun, light, right, it came out of the womb, it was already a saris. You don't do chalitz and you don't do yibum. Why, according to Rabbi Akiva? Because what's the whole idea of yibum? Lahakim shem ha-meit, that he lost his chance to do. And this is really interesting. He never had the chance to do it, and therefore he's patur, right? There's no mitzvah of yibum at all.
But they let him marry.
They let him marry, but there's no mitzvah of yibum. Right, I guess. So a sris chama lo choletz v'lo miyabem. So therefore, if they both hold that a sris chama lo choletz miyabem, my la b'hakam b'flege, is this not the machloket between them? Again, the machloket is, can she do yibum, the wife of this guy, or can she not? Demanda amar choletz v'chotzin lishto u b'yabminet ishto lo amrinan ho'il b'yishtane ishtane. And therefore, what? We don't assume he's a sris chama. Just because he's a tumtum doesn't necessarily mean he's a sris chama. And therefore, right, the assumption is most people are not sris chama. So therefore, we can follow the rov and be chayav her in yibum. But manda amar choletz v'lomet yabemet amrinan, even though the rov is in sris chama, ho il v'ishtane ishtane. Since this is a tumtum, one can assume that once it's already got some issue here, one can assume maybe it's a sris chama, and therefore we don't allow yibum. So that's their first explanation of this machloket. But now they say lo, that's not really the machloket. Okay, and then what would we have there? There we would show that just like Rav Oshaya disagreed with Rish Lakish and Rabbi Eli about Ho'il v'ishtane ishtane, also Tanaim debated this issue. They say, no. Tekule alma amrinan Ho'il v'ishtane ishtane. Interesting that they go with saying, everybody agrees that once it's strange, we treat it as strange and anything could be. And therefore, we should be concerned that it's a sris chama. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, but the machloket is, which Tana do they hold like about a sris chama? According, I already told you, it's a machloket Tanaim. Rabbi Elazar says that a sris chama you do yibam for a sris chama. So, uman Tana, aliba de Rabbi Akiva. So now they want to know which Tana would be the author of that opinion that follows Rabbi Akiva. That would be choletz v'lo miyaben, because we have to be concerned that it's a sris chama, and a sris chama is lo choletz v'lo miyaben. As opposed to, right, by the way, what does Rabbi Lezer say? It's interesting. He says a sris chama can do yibum. Why does he think that? Because he says he can be cured. Even a sris chama, okay, someone who's sterile from birth, can be cured. It's interesting, in light nowadays, there's so many things, that so much intervention one can do. He even believed in those days that it was possible to be cured. Okay, so now they want to know who's the Tana who holds like Rabbi Akiva on this debate. Ilema Rabbi Yehuda Havadai Sris Mishavele. Now notice, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, what would you say? Sris Chama Lo Choleis V'lo Miyaben. What's the problem? The source that we tried to connect to Rabbi Akiva was the source that says we assume that he could be a sris chama. So therefore, what would the halacha be? Lo choletz v'lo miyaben. But the Braita said, choletz v'lo miyaben. She still has to do chalitza. Choletz v'lo miyaben. She has to do chalitza. So why does she have to do chalitza if we hold like Rabbi Akiva? She didn't have to do anything. So therefore, they say, if you want to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, hai vadai saris mishavele. He thinks it's a vadai saris, in which case you wouldn't have to do yibum. Ditnan, Rabbi Yehuda omer, tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zachar. If you take a tumtum and you tear the skin there to figure out what's underneath, and it turns out he was a zachar, hareze lo yachlot mibnei shu kisaris. You don't even need to do chalitza because he's considered a saris. Therefore, it must be Ella, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Ditanya. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, tum lo choletz, doesn't do chalitza, why? Okay, now what does this mean? Tum, if he's the brother, he doesn't, right, the brother died, he doesn't do chalitza for the wife of his brother, why not? Shema yikaravi, im sasris chama, in which case, he can't do yibum, right? If he can't do yibum, then he's not allowed, right? It's Yisra Rayot to sleep with the wife of his brother. Ate kol demikra zachar mishtikach nekeva lo mishtikach. What does it mean? Shema yimtza In other words, Shema Yikra V'Yimsa Sri Schama. What, we're going to assume Shema Yikra and it's going to definitely be a Zachar? No, maybe it's a Nekeva. So Shema Ka'amar, Shema Yikra. So the, what do they say? No, this is the way you read it. Shema Yikra V'Yimsa Nekeva. In other words, either he'll be a Nekeva, in which case he can't do Yibum. In other words, he's a Nekeva Bechlal. Inami Zachar. And even if he's a Zachar, Shema Yimsa Sri Schama. Okay, so then maybe it'll be a Sri Schama. Now the question is, now, what's the issue here? The issue is, what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda? Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Lo yachlots, because he's a saris. And what did Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Lo yachlots, shemi yikara abiyim sas sris chama. In the end, they both say lo yachlots. So what's the difference between them? Lifsol b'mkom achim, ulachlots shelo b'mkom achim ikabenai. Since, right, Rabbi Yehuda says, because he's kisaris, he says, therefore there's no chalitza, there's no yibum, you can't do anything. You're not in the parsha at all. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it's a suffix. Maybe yikravi imsa, right? Maybe yikravi imsa nekeva, maybe yikravi imsa zachar. Maybe if it's a zachar, it'll end up being a sris chama. It's all sfeikot. Therefore, what does it mean, lo chalitza? It means, lifso b'mkom achim. If there's brothers, what he means to say is if there's other brothers, don't have this brother do the yibum, okay? Or the chalitza. Have a different brother do it, okay? And lachlotz, shalobim komachim, if there's only, right? So if in the case where, that lifsobim komachim means when there's other brothers, he's pasul, he can't do it. And lachlot shelobim komachim means, but if there are no other brothers, then he's allowed to do chalitza. He can't do yibum, but he can do chalitza if he's the only brother. Okay, so that's what the difference between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's nothing, right? There, you don't do anything at all. Okay, lo yachlots, he doesn't even need to do chalitza because he's a saris. Okay. Hadron alach al elu mumim, starting new parak tomorrow.